Father, we just thank you. We thank you, God, for everything that you have said so far today, everything you've done, how your spirit is and has been moving. Father, we thank you, God, now that we thank you first for your presence. We thank you for the anointing that's in this room, the anointing that's upon me, God. I thank you, God, and I ask you to think through my mind and speak through my lips. I declare that this word will come forth unhindered, unchecked by any outside force. I declare, decree, and establish that signs, wonders, and miracles will take place as a result of this word. I declare, decree, and establish, God, that hosts of heaven are on assignment, causing this word to come to pass, and I release glory, your glory in the lives of everyone who will hear this word now and who will hear this word later. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, if you believe that, say amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So we find ourselves in this place where we've been talking about the mature sons of God. It started with Apostle. Thank you, guys. It started with Apostle sharing, will the real church please stand up? And then we were led into this place about the mature sons of God. And I just want to tell you that everywhere I look across the body of Christ, people are sharing the same thing. There have been some with different titles and different spins on it, but when I listen, I'm hearing everybody talk about maturity as in our walk with the Lord and being mature sons. The other day, I ran across an apostle to the body who's messages I haven't heard in over 10 years. Came across him, his material on YouTube, and guess what he was talking about? Walking as mature sons. And then the other day in my YouTube feed, his son was speaking on maturity. And the clip that came up, he was speaking on the exact passage talking about David and Ziklag that I talked about 2 weeks ago. And then we started searching and we are hearing people say there's more, say there's more. Because yet last Sunday when Apostle was teaching, you know every time he teaches it's prophetic, and there was this place where he landed where he kept saying, there's more. And was talking about Holy Spirit whispering, there's more. Now, in the moment, I'm receiving a word, but that was hitting me too. It was like, bing, 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 bing. And then now we see the whole body talking about there being more. Say, there's more. And so that's what I'm going to talk about today. I'm going to talk about as mature sons of God, we hear and we respond when the Holy Spirit says, there's more. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because in this season, God is extending an invitation for us to experience more with him, to experience more in him, and for him to release more through us. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 64. I'm going to just share a couple of things prophetically before I get to our foundational passage that we've been teaching from. Isaiah 64, verse 1. It says this. Now, this was Isaiah praying a prayer. He says, oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence. Now, we know in this season with God, we don't have to ask him to come down because he already came down. In fact, he's come down several times. He came down as Jesus in flesh. He's come down through the person of Holy Spirit. He's come down appearing to people in flesh. I mean, Jesus is still doing that. I mean, he is appearing to people today in his fleshly glorified body. So we don't have to ask him to come or come down. But this was Isaiah during a different season with God. And so he said, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence. As fire kindles the brushwood, and as fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, that the nations may tremble at your presence." I believe as God is inviting us to experience more, it is about making his name known. Say, make your name known. Now, he's making his name known in a way that he has never done it before. There has been too much talk about Jesus without people encountering Jesus. And so I believe in this season we have stepped into a realm of increased encounters and experiences, and God making his name known beyond a Sunday morning sermon. God is making his name known not just to believers in a fresh way, but it says to his adversaries, to those who have been opposing the kingdom of God. God is making himself known. Just like he made himself known to Paul when Paul was, persecuting the church, and he said, "Why are you persecuting me?" There are some people who don't even know that they are opposing God, but God is making himself known to them in this season. And it says to your adversaries that the nations may tremble at your presence. I'm telling you, there is a shaking and a stirring going on. Even if you look, I don't want to say look at the news. You got to look beyond what's being reported in the news. You can see a shaking and a stirring. God is shaking and he's stirring. He's shaking and stirring the nations. I'm telling you, we are in a season where the name of God is going to be known like it was before. Like we read about when nations will say, "Who is like our God?" I mean, when Daniel had this thing going on and he came out of the lion's den unscratched and basically slept on him, and then the people that got pushed in after him were devoured before they even hit the ground. The king said, "Who is like the God of Daniel?" I'm telling you, God is making himself known where people are going to have to say, "Who is like our God?" There's no Reiki healer, no crystal, no psychic, no medium, no none of that who can do the things that God does. Who is like our God? And I'm telling you, as the people are trying to get into this new age stuff and try to seep it into business, seep it into fitness, and seep it into our culture, I'm telling you, God is making himself known, and people are going to have to say, "Who is like?" Hallelujah. And we have the privilege and the opportunity to have been born at the time we were born, to be alive for this time, like they told Esther, for such a time as this. He says, look at this, check this out, verse 3. "When you did awesome things which we did not expect, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence." My God. He did things they did not expect. I'm telling you, we must expect the unexpected. Not only should we keep our expectations high for what we are believing for, and we need to raise our expectation for the unexpected, because there is more. Say, there's more. He is going to do things and do things. And he's going to do things we didn't expect. And he's going to do them in ways we didn't expect. Well, all we have to do is bow down and worship and say, nobody can move like you, God. There's more. Check this out. This is what God reminded me of. Isaiah 54. And I remember last time I shared verse 2. Last time I shared, I talked to you about how God had been reminding me of stuff that he had been saying all along. And he keeps taking me back to this passage. I'm like, okay, what? I want to say, what else you want me to get out of this? But I'm recognizing there's more. So I keep looking and keep looking. Check this out. Isaiah 54, verse 2. Now, this was that whole thing where if I start at verse 1, and I remember I taught on this. It says, shout for joy, O barren one, you who have borne no child. Break forth into joyful shouting and cry out loud. You who have not travailed, for the sons of the desolate one will be more numerous than the sons of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Spare not. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your pegs. Now, I read that from the King James, and it talked about breaking out and breaking forth. But check this out in this translation in verse 3. For you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your descendants will possess nations and will resettle desolate cities. He says, spread abroad to the right and to the left. And I'm sitting here thinking, simultaneous expansion, simultaneous growth, simultaneous birthing, simultaneous areas I have to mature. Because he said to the right and to the left. So I was sitting there thinking, Jesus, it is not just about me launching. I'm going to talk about me for a second so you can find you. It's not just about me launching this business. It's about what God is doing with me as a pastor. And I'm like, wow. And it's not just what God is doing in the business and as a pastor. He's what he's doing with me as a husband and a father. I know Val going to quote that to me later. I know it. She's going to be like, you said it. It got recorded. It's on YouTube and Facebook and everywhere. You said it. Oh, Jesus. Holy Spirit gets you into some trouble sometime. So, simultaneous. Say there's more. Because sometimes we are looking at the move of God from one perspective and in one area and in one way. And he's like, no, to the right and to the left. Because there's more. Let's look at Isaiah. Go back to Isaiah 64. And I'm going to read at verse 4. Ooh, Jesus. It says, for from the days of old, they have not heard or perceived by ear, nor has the eye seen a God besides you. I can testify to that. It says, who acts in behalf of the one who waits for him? Now, I just believe there are some people waiting in expectation, not realizing that their waiting is a place that God has them in to exercise faith and patience, because he is acting on your behalf and in your behalf behind the scenes. And he has people, places, and things that are getting in alignment for you to meet you at an exact point in time, an exact place in the earth. And sometimes you may have to pause while someone else is moving so you can intersect. So, I mean, this was blessing me because I was like, thank you, Jesus, because I expected to be at seven figures by now, according to my faith, be it unto me. And so I'm like a 1 year in, seven figures, glory to God, but I'm not there yet. And I'm like, why am I not there yet? I mean, it's a reasonable expectation. I'm just saying. And I'm sharing this with you so you can, because I don't like talking about myself, but I'm sharing this with you so you can hear how I'm processing my faith, so you can find yourself as you process your faith and understand that you're not off. You didn't miss it. Because it's like, that was my reasonable expectation because I read the word of God and it says, the blessing of the Lord makes me rich and adds no sorrow. So I had to understand that God is acting on my behalf while I'm in this posture of waiting and building my faith and allowing him to mature me in multiple areas so that as I step into fully what he has called me to step into, one, I have the maturity to handle it and to steward it and to distribute it. Because he doesn't want to give something of high value to us when we're in an immature place. Because he doesn't want us to miss the moment and the purpose. So, I mean, he gives us richly all things to enjoy, so we should have some fun with some stuff. But fun should be blended and in conjunction with also fulfilling purpose. See, some people have been out of alignment. Some people have been so focused on purpose that they can't have fun. And they're too tense. They need to go on vacation, put their feet in the sand, go get a massage, do something. Take a break. And then some folks are so much out there having so much fun that they forgot that they have a purpose and destiny and that there are souls waiting on them. And so I always seem to see where people go to these two extremes, either one or the other. But God is all about, see, heaven on earth is all about those things being married together. Where you are fulfilling purpose and destiny, but you're having a time of your life. Not just finding joy in the purpose and destiny, but finding joy outside of it too. Because there's nothing wrong with taking a private jet to the beach for a week and having fun and doing all of that. And then come back and help somebody get saved, help somebody get delivered, grow them and help them mature. That's heaven on earth. Hey, that's why I hold on to that word, Nina. And I'm going to say you gave it to me. More freedom, more control over my life, because that's my idea of control over my life, where I'm not bound to somebody's schedule, not even a schedule I set for myself. Glory to God. So let's read our foundation, John 1, verse 12, and I'm going to read it from the King James. It says, but as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. You have to receive, not just Jesus and get saved. I mean, that's a start. Because that gets you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God. But after that, there's more. After getting saved, there's more. This is why some people's assignment... Let me say it this way. This is why some houses of worship experience greater spiritual warfare than others. Because when you are in a house that focuses on purpose, destiny, establishing, and demonstrating the kingdom, you're going to face more opposition. Because you recognize that there's more. You're doing more than saying, hey, would you like to invite Jesus into your life? Yeah, I want you to invite Jesus into your life. And then after that, I want you to walk with him. Because the commission is to make a disciple. And I want you to grow up in him. And I want you to fulfill purpose and destiny. And I want to see you operate under the anointing that God has for you and on your life. Because every one of you have an anointing. There's a gifting. There's a calling. There's purpose. There's destiny. Whether you recognize it from the day you were born, you were already marked. So he said power to become. And remember that word power means power of choice. It talks about rule and government, but it refers to choice as well. You have to choose to become a son. And sonship is not gender. Sonship is placement. See, some folks have misinterpreted that and try to make it like women can't preach. Women can't. No, that ain't what God was saying. He was speaking about spiritual placement, because sons are the ones. Sonship means that we have a place of authority and we have say-so over inheritances. So as we mature in our ability to express who God has made us to be, we mature in our ability to manifest the kingdom of God. Galatians 4:1 says this, that as long as an heir is a child, he is no different at all from a slave, although he is owner of everything. Your maturity is what makes the difference. Slaves don't have ownership. They don't have say-so. They don't have authority. As you mature, you get to step into ownership and authority. Let me show you something. John 15:2. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It says this. Every branch in me. Now this is Jesus talking. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. So, I mean, that's a sober statement. Because sometimes folks get reassigned and stuff like that. But sometimes folks just get removed. And you have to, as a mature believer, understand the difference and be okay with both. Be okay with people being reassigned, but be okay with folks being removed. Sometimes you're trying to hold on to people in your life that God is like, nah, they're not bearing fruit. And you keep them around you, they're going to hinder you from bearing fruit. Because bad company corrupts good character. Which is why we have to continue to gather. You know, we can't allow what people are saying about variant strands and all that stuff with COVID to keep us from coming together. And we also can't allow the convenience of online, you know, viewing keep us from getting together and experiencing the corporate anointing. Now, it says, every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it. So you're fruitful, you're successful, you're producing, and now he's got to cut you. And he cuts you so you can bear more fruit. So there's a degree of success, and you may be wondering why, you're like, things are going so well. Why are things shifting? Why is God moving me this way? Or why did God allow this to happen? Because sometimes he wants to shift you, and you might be thinking it's the devil, so he might allow some stuff to push you out there. Not that he caused it, but he just let it happen so he can get you to where he needs you to be in the first place. So he does it so we can bear more fruit and produce more. Now, every branch that's producing is going to experience the pruning process or the maturing process so that you can access and produce more. There's more. So when you hear that whisper, there's more, it's because Holy Spirit is telling you
we're about to take you to a whole nother place in God. We're about to do some more amazing things. You think this is great, but there's more.
Look, let's skip down to verse 5. Jesus said this, I am the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. Now look at the distinction. First, there was bearing fruit. Then there was bearing more fruit. And then there's bearing much fruit. So when we abide in Christ, there's going to be opportunities, multiple opportunities, multiple invitations to mature in him that we have to say yes to so we can bear much fruit. Because we can choose to bear more fruit or much fruit. Now, abiding in Christ, when you think about what he just said, it gets really deep. When Jesus said, abide in me, who is Jesus? He's talking about abiding in him, abiding in his presence. Jesus is the Word made flesh. So we're talking about abiding in the Word. He told Joshua in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 8, he said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, meaning think on it, regurgitate it, say it, speak it, so that you may be careful to do it. So do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. So success and prosperity is based upon us doing the word and obeying his voice. And the obedience to his voice and doing the word is based upon us keeping it before us and speaking it and meditating upon it, studying it. That is how we abide in the living word, whose name is called Jesus. Then he's talking about abiding in the anointing because he's called Jesus. He is Jesus Christ. Christ meaning the anointed one and his anointing. So you have to abide in the anointing that is his, but he has placed upon you for your particular assignment. Then he's talking about abiding in him. So that's abiding in his presence. Living in and living from his presence will cause us to bear his fruit. See, if the only time you abide in his presence is when we gather corporately, you're wrong. I'm going to just say it that way. I was trying to find a nice way to say it, but I'll just say it that way. Because when we gather together, it's an amplification of what we experience in our one-on-one time. See, what God has put in place as an amplification cannot be the sole source. There's ways to abide in his presence at home. Your house should be a sanctuary for the living God. Your street can be a sanctuary for the glory of God. So when you abide, there are going to be multiple invitations to mature. And that maturity is the key to going deeper in God. Because he said that he would not pour fresh new wine into an old wineskin. He said it this way in Matthew 9, verse 17. I'm going to read it from the Passion Translation. It says, and who would pour fresh new wine into an old wineskin? Eventually, The wine will ferment and make the wineskin burst, losing everything. Now, I like the way it said eventually, because sometimes we don't see the results right away. We think, oh, it's good because nothing happened. It's good. But we have to allow ourselves to mature because we want to have the capacity to handle the new wine that he is honoring us by pouring into us. Now, I remember last week I spoke prophetically, and I was so glad Nina prophesied first when we were praying for the gentleman. Because, you know, and I'm going to just share this for everybody, because sometimes you praying and you know the gift of prophecy, you praying, you prophesy, you know you hear God. But the thing is, you're not trying to force a word. You know what I'm saying? Trying to force, oh, the Lord say he loves you with an everlasting love. I mean, yes, he does. But you're not trying to force a word and not trying to say something general. Because the prophetic can be specific, extremely specific. There are sometimes he tell you something general for exhortation and stuff like that. But I was so glad she went first, because all I saw was glory being poured out in that gentleman's living room. But when Nina spoke, it gave clarity to what I saw. Because I was like, what does this mean? So I was like, what does this mean? But she spoke and it gave me clarity. So then I could speak. And I would tell you that I don't believe that was just for him. Because there's more. I believe God is pouring glory out into our households for us to live from and live in as a habitation that accelerates and intensifies when we come together. Because there's nothing like, I don't know about you, it's like I get, for me, when I'm around my family, I get energized. When all my cousins and all of them get together, it's like a new kind of energy that comes. Well, you guys are like my faith cousins. Hi, cousins. And when we get together, there's an intensified synergy. Because in your house, God has been pouring glory. Now, are you going to let the buckets of glory just drip on the floor, or are you going to bathe in it, is the question. Because we want these glory moves of God, but we're expecting it to come. I mean, it's going to come through tent revivals and people having presence parties, which is what we do. So we call it prophetic worship, but it's really a presence party where we come party in the presence of God. But it's more than that. It's your house. There's more. It's your car. It's your job. You are a container for the glory of God. And how you view yourself as you respond to the there's more will impact your level of accessing the there's more. Now, only got like 3 minutes left, so I'm going to just give you the sum up of what I got. And then I'm going to have to share the rest of it another time. When we think about Saul, King Saul, he is most known for his disobedience to God. He is most known for that instance where God told him to destroy this nation and destroy everything, and he brought stuff back. Talking about, I feared the people. You the king, dude. How you scared? But there are people in leadership who are scared to lead. Scared people going to leave. Scared people ain't going to like them. Well, and then some people get the hard heart. Were you not in leadership to be liked? That ain't it either. Yeah, you're supposed to connect, but you can't be scared. Because if you are leading someone from an authentic place and then they disagree, you do have to say, well, this is how it is. And if they choose to leave because of that, bless God. You probably wouldn't have wanted to bear fruit. He had to remove you. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to declare the blessing over your life, but you just ain't a part of my assignment. And maybe you just got to sit down for a minute and allow God to mature you before you come back. If you come back. And if you don't, I just high five you in heaven. When you see me up in heaven, you can roll with me. I remember when I was living in Michigan, I was gospel rapping. Y'all didn't know that. But I was a gospel rapper, and I was rapping with this guy, and that was a line of his verse. He was like, "When you see me up in heaven, you can roll with me." And I was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna roll with you." So we most know him about being fearful, but we don't understand there was a call to there's more. And he responded out of a place of not allowing himself to mature to access it. Because 1 Samuel 9, verse 1 says this. There was a healthy, influential man named Kish from the tribe of Benjamin. He was the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bichorath, the son of Aphiah of the tribe of Benjamin. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Now, we see Saul's daddy was a person of influence. That was his father, because verse 2 says his son Saul. And it says Saul was more handsome than everybody else. It says all of Israel. Now, that wasn't somebody's opinion. That was what was spoken. So we see that he was more handsome, but then he goes on this search to find his father's donkeys because they were lost. Not knowing the donkeys were lost as a divine event to make him have an intersection, an interaction with the prophet Samuel, who would anoint him to be king. He would be anointed to be the first human king over a nation. And God allowed donkeys to run off to be the catalyst to get him to that place where he could be anointed. But when Samuel tells him that he's going to be king, and he says, he says this in verse 20. He says, Samuel said, "Don't worry about those donkeys that were lost 3 days ago, for they've been found. I'm here to tell you that you and your family are the focus of all Israel's hopes." So everything that the nation had been hoping for, believing God for, was centered and focused on Samuel's response to "there's more." But Samuel said in verse 21, "I'm only from the tribe of Benjamin, the smallest tribe in Israel, and my family is the least important of all the families of that tribe. Why are you talking like this to me?" But when you read verse 1, it says his father was wealthy and influential. So you see, Samuel's response was one of not accepting the invitation of "there's more." Not even accepting the word that was spoken to him. And not really realizing it was a divine connection. Because I don't have time to tell you right now, but they just happened to, they were about to go home. But then his servant said, "Look, I heard there's a prophet in this city. So let's go see if this prophet could tell us where this donkey is. Because everything this prophet hears and says comes true." So they're walking through. It's like, "Hey, where's the prophet?" And somebody told him, "Yeah, you better catch him, because he has this feast where people are go to by invitation only." So they're walking around and they see a guy, and Saul says, "Hey, do you know where the prophet is?" And the guy that he asked, "Hey, do you know where the prophet is?" is Samuel, the prophet they were looking for. So God will divinely connect you to who you are looking for. What you are looking for, who you are looking for, is actually looking for you. And God will cause you, your paths to intersect when you say yes to "there's more." And then he tells them, it ain't about the donkeys. It's about everything other people are believing for that God wants to use you to bring an answer. See, you think it's about one thing, but it's about something else. Nina told me that too. My first day in new members class. I was in new members class. We had just moved here from Michigan. I thought we were here because of a job. Well, I knew God sent us here, but I wasn't sure why. Because things were going good in Michigan. I mean, I was speaking and doing all kind of stuff. I was a gospel rapper, traveling around, rapping, doing stuff with the teens. Things were going good. And then God was like, there's more. So I get here trying to figure out the more. Recognizing I get planted in the church of a guy I met 3 years earlier in a 3-minute meeting. It was me unlocking a door to let him come in and practice with a worship team that wasn't the worship team of the church I attended, but happened to be the worship team of my pastor at the time's brother. Because the pastor that I was under has a brother who also pastors. So it was his brother's worship team that needed access to a building to practice. I came to unlock the door and turn on the keyboards. And Apostle John was like, hey, how you doing? I'm John. And I tell him, here are the sounds. And he cracks a joke saying one of the sounds wasn't good. He was like, that's not a good one. And then says, this is what I'm going to teach the team. And he plays Jehovah Reigns. I get here. I'm walking down the hallway of this new job. I'm in a new state. Don't know anybody except for one person who was from Michigan, who worked with me, and who was saying, I'm going back to Michigan when the summer's over. Deuces. I know nobody but my wife. And I hear this guy named Kelvin walking down the hall singing, Jehovah Reigns Forever. And I'm like, I know the person who wrote that song. That's John W. Stevenson. He says, that's my pastor. I said, no, you're not. You lying. He was like, come and see. And then I get here and now I recognize why God moved me from one state to the next. Because there was more. And just like that happened in my life, and just like how it happened with Saul when he got connected to Samuel, God is setting you up for the same thing. You might be like, why am I changing jobs? Because there's more. You might be like, why am I not changing a job? Because there's more. You have to figure out what the there's more looks like and sounds like for you. Because there's more. He connected with Samuel, and then Samuel says, let's skip down to verse 22, because I got to show you this. Because Samuel had this dinner where it was by invitation only. But then Samuel tells them, come with me and eat, and then tomorrow you can go home. They come eat, and there was about 30 people there that were invited. Samuel sits them at the place of honor. It says, then Samuel took Saul. It says, then Samuel brought Saul and his servant into the hall and placed them at the head of the table, honoring them above the 30 special guests. Samuel then instructed the cook to bring Saul the finest cut of meat, the piece that had been set aside for the guest of honor. So the cook brought in the meat and placed it before Saul. Go ahead and eat it, Samuel said. I was saving it for you, even before I invited these others. Look how the New American Standard reads that, verse 24. He says, and the cook took up the leg with what was on it and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, here is what has been reserved. Set it before you and eat, because it has been kept for you until the appointed time. Selah. there are things reserved for you. And a religious person will say, up in heaven. But that's true, too. I mean, Jesus is decking out folks' mansions and everything else and inscribing his name in it. But he has stuff reserved for you, places reserved for you to go, meetings and tables you're supposed to sit at, places of influence designed and waiting for you. And it says, until the appointed time. But I'm telling you, the fact that God is saying there's more means this is that appointed time. Come on, Eric. Will you receive more? Will you respond to Holy Spirit's invitation? Right now, he's inviting every person, no matter where you are in your life, he's inviting you for more. He's saying, there's more.